And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace on those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Have you ever felt insignificant? It was about 7 years ago that I joined a group of evangelical Christians at Nottingham Trent University to share the good news of Jesus with all the new students. And it was a big deal for me. You kind of get that, don't you? It was a big deal for me because I never did the university thing, and I knew that it was going to be a big deal for me because I knew that there was going to be a whole lot of people smarter than me there. And I remember I sat in the lecture room with other Christians feeling a bit out of place because I was clearly the oldest person in the room by far. And one by one, each of us were allocated a room and a student to work with, and then there was just me sat there all on my lonesome. No room and no student. And I just thought, what on earth is going on here? Now, clearly the devil would have loved this kind of thing because he doesn't want any one of us to tell anyone about Jesus. So he began to throw those darts of doubt at me, and quite quickly I was beginning to think that God couldn't use me. That I was not wanted, that I was not good enough, that I was not intelligent enough to speak to these students, that I may as well just go home. I felt insignificant. I felt like a first century shepherd, an outcast, the lowliest of the low, out of place, left until the last, and even forgotten. And I was seriously thinking of going back home and calling it a day. But I prayed and I asked God, "Father in heaven, why am I here?" And God spoke to me through the verses found in 1 Corinthians 1, but specifically verse 27 that says, "God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." And soon enough, a room was found, and I was introduced to a student that I could work alongside, and we went off. And this kind of brings us in to this next part of this amazing story, this amazing Christmas story. So just to put things into context, and you probably don't need this already, but here we go. Mary and Joseph had arrived in Bethlehem. They'd found that there was no room for them left in the inn. Jesus had been born in the stable, and there he was, snugly wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. But here's the next part. The first visitors, the shepherds. First point for us today is God loves you no matter who you are. First point, God loves you no matter who you are. Now, when you think of places where kings and queens are normally born, it is quite shocking for me anyway to think that Jesus, the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, was born in an old shed where animals stay a stable. When we think of the first visitors that night, the shepherds, we find that they were considered outcasts, those without qualification, the lowliest of the low. People thought the worst of shepherds. They were like lepers, but without the disease. They were nobodies, and the best place for them was as far away from everybody else as possible. It was because of their low standing in society that the shepherds would have no doubt found it difficult visiting the baby Jesus in a palace, but had no problem visiting him in a stable. Now, shepherds at that time were the opposite to the kind of people that you would think would have anything to do with kings. People like prime ministers, religious leaders, the wealthy and the well-to-do. And yet here we are, here we have arguably the most important event that has ever happened in history. And amongst the first to hear about it are the lowly shepherds. There's a great verse in Mark 2 where Jesus said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have not come to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." And when we think of the upper end, or the then upper end of society, we find some real self-righteous types, such as the pharaohs, the kings of Egypt, who were considered as gods themselves, as were some of the Roman emperors. The king of Judea, King Herod, hated hearing the news of a new king and gave orders for babies, boys, 2 years old and under, to be killed, hoping that Jesus would be dealt with there and then. And then we have the religious leaders who were steeped in the law so much so that they trusted in the law more than they did in God. But here we have the lowest end of society, the shepherds, in verse 8, living out in the fields nearby, keeping a watch over their flocks at night. We find that these shepherds were vigilant as they looked after the sheep, keeping them safe from any wild animals that may have been looking for an easy meal. And in 1 Samuel 17, we read that David, as a shepherd boy, had to fight off lion and bear as they attacked his flock. And this would have been a similar kind of thing for these shepherds. They would have been prepared for pretty much anything. But an angel of the Lord? How can you prepare for that? That was a different matter. It must have been a real shocker when the angel appeared to the shepherds on duty that night. I wonder, have you ever been out in the middle of nowhere, far from any light pollution, without a torch? I remember being out in the wilds of Wales late one evening with a youth group that I was helping to lead, and it was a clear night and the stars were out. It was beautiful. The stars were there in all their glory. And as we turned off our torches one by one to see the stars in their best, to the best effect, we began to realize how dark it really was. Just imagine being one of the shepherds that night on the hillside, keeping warm by your campfire, and everywhere around you was dark, other than the stars in the sky and the flickering of the flames of the fire. And then, out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone all around you. That must have been an amazing sight. Now, if you're wondering what the glory of the Lord might look like as it shines all around you, I've got an interesting picture. Can we have that picture, Verna? This is a picture taken in Northern Iceland at midnight. It is one of the countries south of the polar circle known as the land of the midnight sun. Midnight sun is when the sun stays above the horizon for 24 continuous hours. And when we think of Bethlehem, well, it couldn't be much further from the polar circles. And yet here we have the shepherds alert and watching their sheep in the darkness of night. And as one Christian writer puts it, the shepherds saw and heard the glory of the Lord all around them, such as made the night as bright as day. This picture helps us to imagine what the glory of the Lord that shone around them may have looked like. But how would that have made you feel? I would say, no doubt, just like the shepherds, for they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy for people everywhere. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord." That must have been a real jaw-dropping, totally and utterly amazing moment for the shepherds. But make no mistake, this is good news for each and every one of us here today. You may be sat there feeling insignificant, that you're not worthy. You may be feeling not good enough. You may be feeling not qualified enough, but please hear this. By God sending his angel to the shepherds first, it helps us to see that no matter who we are or how we may feel about ourselves, God still loves us. God still loves you. And there is no qualification required for his love. We just need to accept it. Now, as we come to the end of my first point, here's a thought. When we look back in time to that very first century when we find that God sent his angel to the shepherds on a hillside, I wonder where would he send them today? Where are the shepherds? Where are the hillsides here in Brixworth? Point two, God can and will use us, even in our weakness. When you really start to think about this, it's an amazing story. We begin to realize that it's not just a story, that it's his story. Written in time, it is an amazing truth that 2019 years ago, Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world, born as a baby in a stable. Imagine being one of those shepherds just after the heavenly host had left them with this great news. I wonder how would you have reacted? Well, for me, I think gobsmacked, stunned, dumbfounded, and no doubt frozen to the spot. But not these shepherds. After the angels of the Lord and the heavenly host had appeared to them, they hurried off and found Mary, Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. But just think that through for a moment. The shepherds, the lowliest of the low, were living in fields nearby. An angel appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The heavenly host, a multitude of angels, praise God, right there in front of their eyes. And the shepherds then raced off to see this wonderful thing that had happened, which God himself had told them about. Surely this has got to be the best news ever. God loves us so much that he was willing to leave his home in heaven to come into this world to make a way for us to be right with God. And the amazing thing is, God chose the shepherds and told them first what he was going to do. And what did the shepherds do after they had seen Jesus? Well, we find out in verse 17 that the shepherds spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. Do you see that the shepherds took this good news and did something with it? I wonder what you will do this Christmas. Will you let Christmas pass you by without sharing this good news with a family member, with a friend, or with a neighbour? It must have been a real turnaround for the shepherds. For once in their lives, they were ahead of the game. This is something that other than Mary and Joseph, no one else knew. No king, no government official, no wealthy landowners, no rich, not the rich, nor the higher end of society. No one else knew what God had shared with the shepherds. For God chose to tell the shepherds first the good news of Jesus before anyone else. And it's got to be the best news ever. And all that heard what the shepherds had said were amazed at what they had been told. Now, it's all very well being amazed at what the shepherds had said, but surely it's what you do with this information that matters. And the challenge for us today is, will you let it go in one ear and out the other? Or will you let it change your life? You can be sure that the shepherds' lives had changed. But come with me to verse 20. Now, this is really easy to read over and miss, but it is important. What did the shepherds do after sharing this amazing news? Verse 20, we read that they returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It seems that after this amazing event, that the shepherds went back to their herds, to their duties as shepherds watching over flocks in nearby fields. It's interesting to think that as we pray into our situations, we find the situations that we find ourselves in. God sometimes answers in ways that are different to what we expect or what we hope for. You see, God spoke to the shepherds and revealed this great news, this great life-changing news. But did God change their circumstance? Well, not really. From what we can tell, the shepherds went back to their old job. You see, God doesn't always change our circumstance, but God can and will use us in all situations for his glory. And when I look back to that week at Nottingham University, I did feel like a first century shepherd, insignificant. But God had brought me to this place of great learning to share his good news and to remind me that no matter who I am and no matter how I may feel about myself, it doesn't alter the fact that God still loves me. Do you see that God didn't alter my circumstance? He helped me to realize that I'm dearly loved and that God can and will use even me for his glory. And that first night in uni, I found myself sharing Jesus with a group of students while waiting for pizza. Obviously. And then throughout the week, God blessed me with many opportunities to share my faith in Jesus Christ. But I wonder, there may be somebody here today that may be feeling like a first century shepherd, insignificant, lowest of the low, maybe just not good enough. Or can I encourage you with a beautiful verse found in 2 Corinthians 12? And it says this: "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" No matter who you are, what you may feel about yourself, or what circumstance you may be in, know this: God's grace is sufficient for you. God sometimes doesn't change our circumstances, but remember this: as we trust in God, His power is made perfect in weakness. Amen. We're going to invite the children to come and join us for this last thing. We're not totally finished, so don't get too excited.